going down.
Welcome back, everybody, to 3-Point Stance with Sean Smith and my great co-host, Drew Garrison. Let's get right into the show. This is episode 11, season 2. We got a special, special guest that we're just going to go right into and have. He's a future Hall of Famer. One of the greatest guys I played against and played with. Played O-line. He just recently got inducted into the Bengals Ring of Honor. Hopefully he gets his gold jacket while he's still alive, because the way he be moving sometimes, I see on his Instagram and social media sometimes, I don't know what's going on with my guy. But now, no further to introduce, man, number 71, Willie Anderson.
Fellas, what's good, man? What's good, Sean?
Willie.
All right, what's going on?
How you feeling, man?
Man, I'm all right, man. Despite what Sean say, I'm feeling all right. I am in a lot of pain, though. You know, that's the life of getting old and being an ex-football player. We live in pain. Sean know that.
Nah, I know. That's why, I'm giving you a hard time, bro, because just like you lost weight, I lost weight. But even with losing this weight, man, my body still hurt. Like, my neck, my neck be cracking. People be looking at what's wrong with y'all. Like, man, I can't get comfortable.
That neck is something I've been dealing with for 13, 14 years of retirement. Just pain. Man, I get headaches so bad that I used to throw up real bad from just bad migraine headaches that I get, man, like right in my neck. And I found out, Sean, it's a bunch of ex-guys dealing with that neck pain, like right there on the left side that goes
down. And it goes down sometimes to your shoulders. I almost feel like you got a stinger, but it's not a stinger, bro. It's like it says a pinch of nerves sometimes, but I'm not sure. So, you know, I know you follow me and everything. Remember the time I was getting acupuncture? That stuff works. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was working, loosening up some of that, you know, that tissue and all that stuff. But still, even after that, I can go get a massage right now. And an hour later, I'm like, damn, I need to get another massage.
Exactly. Absolutely, man. It's a constant thing we deal with constantly, man, of pain and just injury and you know, all that craziness.
You guys are putting your bodies on the line every Sunday, man, for years and years. I can only imagine. I sleep wrong and I don't feel right for a couple of days, and I haven't played a down in the league.
Man, it be like that, man. So, but Willie, let's get into it with all this. I mean, you watch football every Sunday. We have debates all the time about everything that's going on. Let's talk about O-line play in the NFL right now. What do you really think of it right now?
I think, man, since 2011, since they changed the collective bargaining agreement, the time these line coaches have had with guys have decreased. They've got decreased time with pads on. And although we as players, we love to not be in pads and have less time in the offseason, but I've really seen it's hurt the development of that group in particular. And I think one of the biggest reasons, Sean, you know, you and I talk about this all the time, is a lot of the offensive line coaches on every level are still reluctant to push their guys into offseason training with guys who specialize in skill development like myself and Sean. So every other position does it. You know, your quarterback's been doing it for years. I just heard recently the Jets hired Zach Wilson's quarterback coach. And you see the things that our former teammate Jordan Palmer is doing with NFL teams. These teams are welcoming these guys in. The one position they don't do it is offensive line. And until these coaches, you know, I've been saying for years too that these teams need a third guy. Because you have your offensive line coach who's putting in plays, running off stuff, and then your assistant offensive line coach, he's basically just a hired slave, you know, to put it blunt, you know.
Nah, I mean, he do all the cards, he do all the dirty work, he does everything, and he's the one that's giving us the information. I mean, it's at every position have one. They give us the information. They're the one that, you know, I ain't gonna say they study the film more than the other coach, but they're the ones that's giving you all the details that you need to go out there and win on Sunday.
Yeah, so the third guy will be needed really to be a skill guy, just a skill development guy. I mean, how many times, Drew, you as a fan, you know, your favorite team is the Bengals, but you've seen teams in the past where once your starting linemen go down, when the backup comes in, he's ill prepared to come in and be like, damn, he's on the team, he's in the coaching. Why is he not looking better than what he's looking? Well, those guys have no time with the coaches. The coaches have no time to spend with those guys individually. You know, for years now, teams need a third guy. And that third guy just be about skill development. But you know, the problem is a lot of offensive line coaches are reluctant to bring guys in to help, especially when you're dealing with ex-NFL players. That, for some reason, that position right there, I mean, I've been trying for years. And they want to put you into the coaching mode, but you don't need more coaches. Like, you need a guy on staff who's all about skill and development, especially during training camp time. When once training camp starts, there's no skill development time. Guys don't get that, especially your backup guys. They definitely don't get that. You know what I mean? So,
do you think that something I've thought from my point of view, as I've watched college offensive change and teams go to more of a spread and they're looking for, you know, more of the linemen that are slimmer and quicker. Do you think that that impacts players when they get to the next level because they spend, you know, 4 years in college playing in these spread kind of West, I don't want to say West Coast, but these really spread out offenses. Do you think that makes them underprepared for the NFL when they get there?
Definitely. I mean, definitely, because you check out some of these college teams. I mean, the two positions that is hurting the most is quarterback and offensive line play. I mean, you take some of these spread quarterbacks, and these guys have never been under center and since they played peewee football. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? And so and these NFL coaches still want to bring, like look at the Bears. The Bears coaches still want to put Justin Fields under center. And I've been watching Justin for his whole high school career here in Atlanta. He's never been under center. He was never under center in college. So until the coaches change their philosophy and say, hey, man, we're gonna create something for him. Like the Baltimore Ravens did with Lamar, you'll still see QBs struggling. But with offensive linemen, think about it. A lot of these guys in spread offenses, and even in high school, they haven't put their hand down on the ground since they played little league football. You know,
right?
Guys go through 4 years of high school, 4 or 5 years of college, never putting their hands down, and then you get to the NFL. You want a guy, you draft a guy in the first round, you expect him to be able to stop a bull rush out of a 3-point stand, and he's never done it. He's never done it. So, and it's definitely easier pass blocking a 2-point stand than 3-point stands. I think it hurts today's run game. You know, when Sean and I played, you know, early in my career, I'm older than Sean, but early in my career, I came in the league in the mid 90s, your running backs were your stars, you know, and
right.
And you drafted linemen to go run the football. Like, the Bengals moved me to the right side of the offensive line after me playing left tackle my rookie year because we didn't have big enough guys to play on that side. And defensive ends in the league then were your big, strong guys that if you wanted to run the ball, we couldn't run the ball with the guys we had, so they had to move me to right tackle. It sounds crazy now in today's world, but, you know, that's who was over there back then. In the 90s, you had your bigger, stronger defensive ends. And your right tackle had to be a guy who can run block and, to me, pass block as well. But in today's game, spread offenses in colleges is definitely – because think about it. Running a read option in college would make a lineman, you know, right or wrong. You know, if the QB pulls the ball, he could be right. You know what I mean? So, you get the NFL, you actually got to come pass block for Tom Brady for, you know, Tom Brady who's still doing 5-7-step drops, holding the football. Some of these guys just haven't done that because in colleges, the offense is all about going fast and they don't need pro technique. I have two guys come out this year, Paris Johnson and Bronson Jones, who probably should be first round picks. They don't need pro techniques in college. Just don't need them. You know?
Nah, because they're getting the ball out in 3 seconds anyway, 2.5 seconds. Oh. With the, you know what I mean? For the most part, I mean, as you see, it's so funny though. We're talking about this because as a lineman, defensive lineman, when we're rushing, it's a clock in our head. 1,000, 2,000, 2,000. If you ain't made your move, you better put your hands up and try to block the ball. Yeah. Something batted down. You know what yeah. I mean?
And then in college, too, what Drew was saying, too, in college, you have some of these teams who are your powerhouse teams. Your powerhouse teams have better players, have better athletes. And in college, the lineman may have to hold the ball for 3 seconds, and the star quarterback is throwing the ball to his star receivers who are better than the other team's receiver. But you get into the NFL now, and the talent is even, and the receiver has a little bit more time. He has to get open. So now these linemen have to learn how to, block a Myles Garrett, and all these monsters that are in the NFL that you just don't see week in and week out in the NFL. I mean, in college football, because in the NFL, it'd be a guy who gets 6-7 sacks a year. He'll tear your ass up. You know what I mean?
Right.
He ain't got to be a Pro Bowler or All Pro, but he can be a really good football player and just not have the accolades. I mean, like Sean. Sean didn't have the Pro Bowl accolade, but Sean will whoop your ass. You know what I mean? Plenty of guys around the league like that. You know what I mean?
But it's funny you say that, Willie, and I appreciate you giving me, my respect and everything. It's the fact that, like, Drew, even when we played, I never was a guy that cared about sacks. Like, my era, like, the early 2000, I came out 2003. It was still run the ball then.
Run the ball.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't, I didn't care about sacks. Yeah, guys was getting sacks. I don't play with LaVar Glover, Charles Grant, Robert Gathers, guys that got buku sacks. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was never about sacks. People are like, look at your career, you don't have a lot of sacks. What you know about sacks? And I said, well, guess what? If they was getting the sacks, I had to be doing something, pushing the middle of the pocket to make the quarterback get out. You know what I mean? And a lot of people don't understand that.
That's what I'm sure Drew noticed too. That's what today's pro football focus, that would make you more valuable today, because they grade everything. They now have a stat now that I love this. They have a stat now for sacks against quarterbacks. So if your quarterback is holding the ball too long, or he's, the guy think it's supposed to be a 5-step drop and the tackle's a 7-step, all that kind of stuff happens that people outside of football don't really know. They'll blame linemen for sacks when it's a damn quarterback fault. I remember my first start in Baltimore played against Robert Mathis, and Rob beat me for like a sack and a half. And it was because, one, Rob is one of the top.
Man, that get off is serious, man. Lee.
But the bigger thing was, Joe Flacco, a young rookie quarterback, Joe was like 6'6", long-ass legs. And what Joe was saying, he threw a 7-step drop. He would drop back at 9. So, Sean, at the Bengals, we coached Carson up where to set up at. Like, Carson, you can't set up at 7, at 9. I think you're supposed to be at 7. You hit 9, you better climb back up to 7. If it's 7, your ass better climb back up to 5. The guards and centers, is their job to keep the guys on the line. It's us tackles' jobs to widen the pocket. Not just take a guy around in a circle. You have to widen that guy around, because guys like Robert Mathis, who lead the NFL history probably in strip sacks, if you don't widen the pocket as a tackle, the guy get a strip sack. So I had to teach Flacco that his rookie year. Like, Joe, you can't stay at 9 yards and throw the ball at 9 yards. But he's a rookie quarterback. And you see guys do that all the time, and they have to learn, especially your taller quarterbacks. Your taller guys have to learn how to climb that pocket. You know what I mean? If you guys see me on Twitter all the time, I'm fussing all the time at college quarterbacks and pro quarterbacks who are your dual threat guys. When they feel pressure, they always run where? To your right.
Right.
Yep.
Man, quit running right. Man, run straight. I've been arguing at Auburn quarterbacks for 3 weeks now. He scored a long ass touchdown last week running straight. You know what I mean? So as a right tackle, it's hard to pass block when your quarterback scrambles to your right. And on your defensive end is cutting them off with the sidelines, cut them off. Just a bad habit that a lot of young running quarterbacks have.
But guess what though? You actually benefit from Tua.
Tua?
A left-handed quarterback. Think about all the left-handed quarterbacks. Not too many. So you'll benefit from Tua, because now you protected his blind side.
So here's this. So for years, right, so with the Bengals, I negotiated 3 contracts with the Bengals, I think. And so it was always a thing about, you playing right tackle on the blind side. So I would show film. I got film now. And I just found out that Pro Football Focus, they have another thing, they have another stat on that. Your blind side, I've been saying this for years, your blind side if I'm the quarterback and I drop back and my head is turned to my left, where's my blind side now?
You're right.
Right. It's not where your back is at, where your head is at. Yeah. Like, if that was the case, Michael Strahan and Reggie White, they would never get these sack records. TJ Watts, JJ Watts, they would never get all these damn sacks because they're on the so-called front side of the quarterback. It's not true. The blind side changes based on when the quarterback head turns. I look to the middle, my blind side is here now. My blind side, but my head turns left. I can't see this guy here.
Your blind side is what you can't see. They don't be understanding that. You know what I mean? That's funny.
That's why all linemen now should be getting paid. Now you got your guards getting paid, right, left, right guys getting paid, left side guys getting paid because sacks now, they realize now they come from everywhere, not just your so-called left side, blind side guy.
And PFF gets used in contract negotiations now, I guarantee it.
Oh, no doubt they are. I know several guys that use them. Yes.
I mean, it's your leverage. You got to try to leverage as much as you can when you're doing this. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bully, question for you, man. Question for you is, out of all the Bengals teams you've been on, what was the best one?
The best one?
What year was your best? Like, I don't care about record. Like, what you feel, just like what year you feel like was the best Bengals team you was on?
See, I thought about this one day. And see, y'all, look, Drew too young. And Sean, you weren't in the league yet. My rookie year, we went 8-8. Like, we were one or two games away from going to the playoffs. Like, the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's crazy. I have a good long term memory, but I can't remember nothing.
Hey, short term, I ain't worth a damn.
Huh?
Short term memory, I ain't worth a damn, bro.
It's crazy. But the Jacksonville Jaguars made the playoffs that year. My rookie year was 97 record. We were 8-8. We were one game out. That team, we had, you know, Garrison Hurst at running back, Carl Pickens, you know, team touchdown leader, Darnay Scott, Big Daddy Wilkerson, John Copeland. Now, the 05 team was more star-studded, and we went to the playoffs, you know what I mean? We unfortunately lost that first round.
Lost, yeah.
Man, hey, man, that 05 team, that's a ring if Palmer stays up. Nobody will ever tell me different.
Yeah, the 05 team was definitely special, man. Like, it was just – it was finally – it was like getting Carson. Like, it's one of the reasons why I don't let people badmouth Carson, because Carson came in with the same bright eyes, high expectations that Joe Burrow is now. And Carson just went through, he dealt with a different organization. The Bengals are different now. And Carson dealt with a lot more things that people know about. You know what I mean? Sean know this, but that team was definitely loaded. I mean, but you look at it, but I always like mentioning my 1996 team because we had some ballers on that team, man. Like I said, we were one game away from winning after starting off like terrible. We're on a crazy streak. But the 05 team was definitely, I probably the most fun because I was at my oldest. I was my 10th year in the league. You know what I mean?
We was rocking, bro.
We did.
We was rocking. I was my third year in the league. That was a good season for us. We had a star stud. We had a star stud offense. Defensively, we have a bunch of this heavy hitter names like that, though.
So we talked about your favorite Bengals team, but recently you were inducted into the Bengals Ring of Honor. I was actually at that game, and I was very happy to be able to see it. Yeah, man, shout out to Betfred Sports. They put me up in the suite, so I had a good view.
Oh, nice.
So what was it like when you got that call, man? Because I know, you know, fans voted for it. There was a lot of support for you. What was that night like when you actually got there and got to put the jacket on and see your name up there on the stadium?
It was crazy, man. A better night, you know, also was the night before. They had the first time they had this thing called the Legends Dinner, where all Isaac Curtis teammates, they got on the stage with him and they all told stories. He had a lot of guys come back with him, and they all got up there and told stories about, you know, days with Isaac, a lot of funny stories. you know, guys sitting around drinking. But the best part about it, walking in the venue, I started seeing teammates of mine that I hadn't seen in freaking 20 years. I hadn't seen Ken Blackman, you know, my fellow guard since he left Cincinnati. You know what I mean? I hadn't seen Brock Gutierrez. Both those guys, my draft class guys, Brock was a free agent. Ken was a third-round pick. Marco Battaglia was our second-round pick that year. Hadn't seen Marco since he left. You know, played several years with these guys. So these guys hadn't really seen me in the 2000 versions. I mean, like, those guys left like 99, and I think Ken left in 98. Marco left maybe 99, 2000. So a lot of the stories those guys told of me was so contrast from the stories that Levi Jones told of me. Shane Graham, Richie Bram was there. Joe Walters, the guy who helped me with my career. You know, the Bengals drafted me to take Joe Walters' position. And Joe Walters, you know, was so cool with me, man. Like, I was not going to let Joe Walters hate me as a rookie. He'd been there for 12 years, and the Bengals drafted me to take his position. And, you know, new O-line coach. And so those guys could have resented the first-round pick that year. I don't think the Bengals had a first-round pick as a lineman until I got there like 8-9 years before me. So those guys could have easily resented me. But they didn't, you know. I made sure guys like Joe Walters didn't resent me. I did all the rookie duties. Like I stood in Joe Walters' left hip, man. And seeing Joe, I always see Joe back around. Saw his son, but a lot of the guys, Big Stacy Andrews, you know, Stacy actually has been helping me on Instagram with last year. I started my process of losing his weight. It was because of some tips that Stacy gave me. So seeing Levi Jones, Levi and I, we all in a big group text, but hadn't seen Levi since like 2013, 14, I think. But that Legends Dinner was a special night, man. Real special night. Coaches got there and talked about Paul Alexander, Jim Anderson, Ray Oliver. My boy Ray Oliver told a great story about me. So that was a big thing the Bengals did. That was the first year they ever did that. And to me, that was a huge thing. And I told Elizabeth Blackburn, I said, hey, I don't know what's gonna happen tomorrow at the game, but the best part of the week so far has been that Legends Dinner, just seeing my boys come back, and we all telling stories, we all having a good time, everybody having food and drinks. It was a blast, man. And then, you know, game day was just surreal. Like, you know, my family and friends were on the field with me. Tequila came back too as well. The only bad part about it, we couldn't get the players on the field for the ceremony. Like, all the guys kind of got lost in the stadium. So I'm working with the Bengals right now. I'm trying to help them better that process. But they did a good job, man. Like, we're a long ways away because we're probably about 40 years late on this thing.
Man, we ancient time, man. I mean, and I got to tell you what the Titans do for their veteran guys, man. Like, they fly you and your spouse or whoever back to a game, put you up for the weekend, go to the game. Have a party Friday night, Saturday, do it like a team bonding, go to practice, walk through, hang with the new, you know, the current players, talk, travel up to pitch. I mean, I think every organization has done some stuff so far. They call it alumni weekend now, treat it like homecoming. Yeah. You know what I mean? Everybody around the NFL is getting better at it. Shout out to the NFLPA and all them people, guys, the union. I mean, guys like Willie. And everybody that's just trying to, you know, keep the brotherhood. As you see, it's funny because we talk about a lot of stuff in our group chat, man. There's a lot of stuff, man. Rest in peace, Adrian Dingle. Played at Clemson from South Carolina, from the Lower Country. Good dude. I knew him and his family personally, too. So it's kind of crazy, wild to get that news when I heard it in the chat. But, like, the mental health stage of guys and former players, even current players now, is huge. And I'm glad a lot of guys are speaking up about it now and talking about it because, man, they say he was depressed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's easy to be depressed. You know what I mean? It's the littlest thing because when you go from being in a routine and then now it's all taken away from you, you lost. It's like a person when they have to go see now. They can't remember. You lost. You don't know which way to go. Like I tell these guys, you hear me all the time. I say silly stuff, but I don't mean no harm by it because I be trying to have fun and entertain it because what I always say, we ain't promised tomorrow, yo. We ain't promised. We never promised tomorrow, man. So that's why, yo, once again, I give you your roses now while you're alive, man. You're a good dude. You'll get somebody the shirt off your back. And speaking of shirts, let's jump in right in. Tell us about, you know, at the Ring of Honor, you was wearing I don't want to mess up. I'll let you say it, but
it's the Big Willie gear.
Okay, the Big Willie gear. Okay,
I got some on.
That's
I got the old stuff.
That's some of the old stuff, Drew. But that stuff's still cool though. Those are my Academy shirts. Right now, I got the everything BigWillie.com. Apparel stuff is out right now. It's been doing real good, man. I always wanted some apparel, man. Like I always thought we as players should all sell apparel. Like, you know, I was always mad when the Bengals didn't, you know, they never had my jerseys in the size of regular people. Like, you go into the freaking, into the player shop, and you got these big-ass giant jerseys. You had Ocho, all these jerseys was in regular people size, so all the girls were able to get
the pink jerseys.
I never had their jerseys or any kind of gear for regular people. Like, I look in the stands, it's always huge, big-ass guys wearing 71. You know what I mean? And women always ask, we can't find your jersey. And then we would have people, you know, in Mobile, Alabama, you know, obviously, you know, there's no Bengals gear in my hometown. There's no Bengals gear here in Atlanta. So I always wanted to have my gear, man, and I always kind of push the players to get into get their own apparel and gear because they're our fans. Our fans support it and buy it. I think the material that we have right now is some really good stuff. I love all the stuff that people have to pick from. Sean Hobson's wife bought a nice hoodie. Hobson got a polo.
Yeah, I seen the gear. I had actually went. I was like, yo, okay. I didn't. As much as I was saying, I don't know about it because you don't post it. You ain't post about this, bro. You may have posted about it on the gram, but you ain't post about it on Twitter, man. I'm gonna tell y'all one thing about Big Willie, man. Big Willie's a teddy bear, man. Big Willie's shy, man. Big Willie, man. But I tell you that he'll fuck a motherfucker up if he had to, though. But he, you know what I mean. But Big Willie's like cool, just like me. Like we used to battle every day in practice. I used to get on the whole O-line nerves. I used to get on the O-line coach nerves.
Coaches.
Like Paul, man. I like Paul. You can't block me, Paul. Well, do it in the game. I said, well, if y'all play me more, I will do it in the game. If you play more, I used to say that. I was always straightforward about how I felt about it. Yo, my confidence was always 1,000. I remember I'm gonna tell you this story. You remember in 2004, Willie, when I first y'all claimed me off waivers from the Saints. And I walk in the rock locker room like I've been there. I didn't give a fuck. Shit. Rudy J was my dude too. Like, hey, Rudy, who are these niggas, man? I don't care about nothing. Yo. I came out like, what? Made myself at home. Everybody looked like, man, who this big nigga? And it's been on since then, though. You know what I'm saying, though?
So. Now, Sean defecated, man, with a bunch of confidence. I put it that way. He had a bunch of confidence. He told Marvin from the first day he should be playing. And we, as veterans, we didn't think he can play. We didn't know, but until he got in practice, you know what I mean? And he did it in practice to us. Unfortunate for us, we played against him at Cleveland. He did it against us at Cleveland. You know what I mean? So he definitely earned his rep around the league as one of the most dominant guys, you know, especially, like you said, stopping that run. Like, and in the league back then, we had to run the football. Everybody was trying to pay guys like Sean, you know, big guys who could move. Take on double team blocks, hold those gaps up, you know what I mean, and get those tackles for losses. That style of football play was huge back then.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't exist anymore. They're like fullback.
Hey, but I'm gonna tell you what though. Let's jump into the coaching crusade, right? You know what I mean? Talk a little about coaches because if I was a head coach, I'm going back to the I formation. I'm going back to a fullback. You got to make a defense be honest and respect. You know what I mean? Yeah, I go 12 personnel. You know what I mean? But I'm going to go 2 tight ends. You know what I mean? I'm smashing my football because I still believe if I'm playing bully ball the whole game. to set up my play action afterwards.
Hey, Auburn came out, you know, shout out to my boy Cadillac, is the new Cadillac Williams, is Auburn's head coach right now. And they came out last week as Mississippi State, I formation, you know what I mean? Two tights. And it's funny that you say that because a lot of teams can't defend it because they don't practice against it. It's like down here in Georgia, when Georgia Tech's running that damn, that wing team, whatever it is running, you know, yep. Guys, teams couldn't practice against it, so you couldn't stop it. You know what I mean? It's like in basketball right now. You know, all these guys, all these seven footers in basketball, there's not many guys playing in the post. So when a guy like Joker gets your ass in the post, he killing guys because they don't know what to do. They can defend it because the AAU coaches got him playing outside, shoot threes
all day. You know
what I mean? And they can't defend the post. So a guy like Joker who can do it all, or Luka, they can do it all because they're used to training, you know, multifaceted football, basketball. But in football, I agree, some sort of that game should come back because teams are not practicing for it. And it's all dependent on if you have that kind of football team. Hell, the Ravens do it. The Ravens sometimes put Lamar in shotgun, but they're not in there. Put him on the center and put a fullback in the backfield and run it because they have a power football team. And that kind of makes sense what they do.
Yeah, because it's like basically I'm letting you know what I'm doing. You got to stop it. Mm-hmm. If you can stop it, you stop it. If you can't,
But I am a fan of the spread offense. I'm not going to lie. I don't like the spread runs. Like the spread run game. Like I said last week, if you see what I was tweeting during the game, the Bengals game last week, I was tweeting about the Bengals. The Bengals were using the Browns running plays. And I always say, if your running back is struggling the way Joe Mixon was struggling, you got to game plan some runs against them. And I think in the previous weeks, the Bengals were just handing the ball off, trying to get yards, and they couldn't get them. But last week, they game planned runs. They were pulling guards and tackles. They were putting double teams at the point of attack. They ran power. They ran counters. And if you watch Nick Chubb run, the Browns do a great job of scheming plays for him to get him running game or running room.
Yeah, but running room and him coming and he's coming downhill. He's coming downhill when he's running. You know what I'm saying? He's coming major downhill. Yeah,
they'll change it up though. They'll fake downhill and do a run outside outside zone. So they scheme and plays for him. And I don't think the Bengals were doing it the first couple of weeks. They did a great job over last week. And they schemed run plays for Joe Mixon. He had a freaking career game. So,
and that's one thing that I was actually going to point out because I know you keep up with the Bengals. I know you watch. And when I was watching the game, so I always get, I got the NFL Plus. I like to watch the film the next day when it drops. I have, limited dude knowledge. But one thing that I noticed was they stopped doing so much of the zone run, so much of the outside zone that Frank Pollock's really known for as a run game coordinator. But Ted Karras, Alex Kappa, they're not super fast guys. They're not quick side to side. So I think that wasn't working. But when I watched the game Sunday and I watched it back, I see Joe Mixon having this game where he goes crazy. And then I start to see that they're running more traps. They're running more pulls. They're not necessarily doing as much outside zone. It seems like the run game scheme just completely changed, and then Joe Mixon scored four touchdowns on the ground.
You have to, man. You can't – if you can't – like Sean will tell you this. We at 05, 04, 05, 06, we ran
– power.
One power play, one side, to the right side.
Right side, baby. Big boss, baby. Boss.
Bobby and I, Reggie Kelly. Richie Graham blocking back. And Eric Gottschalk pulling. And I didn't realize that, Sean, until a couple of years. I've been retired now since 08. Levi said one day, man, we ran power to one side. I said, damn, we damn sure did. We never ran a 25 power with Bobby pulling. We ran to one side because that side of us, Bobby and I played at 340. Bobby was freaking 365 probably. You know what I mean?
Bobby was 360. I don't care what nobody say, Bobby.
Reggie Kelly at tight end blocking, one of the best blocking tight ends you'll ever see in football, blocking guys one-on-one by himself. But we could create movement. And so your run game can be simple when you got guys who can create movement. But when you can't create movement, individual blocks, zone blocking, whatever it may be, the tackle on the end, the guard on the three technique. When you can't do that, you got to scheme plays. You got to run traps and counters and pull guys and all the different things that the Bengals did Sunday. They did a great job of that. So hopefully in the future, they'll keep doing that because they might not have the personnel to block one-on-one all game like that or in the run game to create movement.
And see, Keith, that you just said, though, and that's the problem around the whole NFL, though. Not just with the Bengals, all teams. They don't make enough adjustments, and that's why, going back to what you were saying earlier, teams need a third eye sometimes, a skill player, especially on the field, to help them see something that a coach ain't seeing. I don't care because coaches caught up in the game. So you need somebody else to tell what's going on. Like, I remember even when I wasn't starting, yo, I'm telling the guys in front of me, yo, when I see while I'm on the sideline, I know if it's running, you know, if he light or if he leaning, just like I knew when Bobby was going double team. You know, his splits is tighter. He started leaning a little bit because he want to get up under your pads and make sure y'all, you know, because y'all used to run railroad guys from about 10-7 yards out, you know what I'm 17 yards all the way down, you know what I mean? So it's just crazy that guys, the people don't understand the importance of making adjustments and using your personnel the best way that you're supposed to use it. You don't always have to have the best talent, but you got the technique, you win.
It just baffles me sometimes, all the NFL teams, college. Like, I mean, like, yo, if I was in a room, like, I'm not saying I'd be a great coach, not saying that. But, like, you just wonder sometimes, like, what the hell are y'all doing all this time? Like, what are y'all
doing? No, but you know what? You know why? This is the thing people say. I tell people all the time, you know why we are good coaches, bro? And we'll be good coaches? I'm going to tell you why. Because we teach. We break it down to the little things, though. But that's the difference between us than some of these guys that's out here just be trying to get money from kids and parents to do certain things. Are you really teaching this kid? Like, if this kid came to you already a five-star, how do you make him better?
Make him better.
Tell me about the two-star, the three-stars that you made into five-stars. That's what makes you a good coach. And that's what also makes a good coach in the NFL. Like, yo, I seen Jay Hayes, a week ago, because, you know, he got the XFL out here.
Yeah.
He called me up. Yo, he called me up by, like, 9 o'clock. Hey, I'm in your city. I'm like, all right. I'm gonna come to practice. Come check you out. You my dog. You stood on the table for me when a lot of stuff that I didn't know that now that I'm done playing, you used to tell you told me. And it's like, yo, I have the utmost respect for you to go, you know, above and beyond.
No doubt. But that's not just trainers though, but that you'd be surprised. I don't know if a lot of coaching.
No, coaches
people,
too.
People always ask, well, why are you not coaching? I say because on the NFL team, what y'all think is coaching is not coaching. What we as players think is coaching is teaching. Well, teaching is the least part of a day, teaching skills rather. In the NFL, they spend more time than any other league in the history of sports on who to block, not on how to block. Like every NFL player gonna know who to block. They're gonna spend so much time because the coordinators. The coordinator sometimes, I feel this way in college football, and I feel like that offensive coordinators in college football have taken the nuts and guts from offensive linemen because these coordinators want to show how dynamic my offense is. I want to go fast, no huddle, all this stuff, and I don't know if they really care about, like, I remember years ago going to a practice, I'm not going to say who practice it was, in college, and just seeing how fast they were going to practice. And the offensive line coach will have very few time to even run repeats to teach run drills. Like run period was so fast because the coach want to go through a 3-hour practice in 2 hours and go fast. And that hurts the development of your offensive lineman. But the offense looks pretty. So in the NFL coaches don't have time, especially I was saying earlier, Drew, once training camp starts, there's no development, skill development, guys. You know, and Sean knew this, in training camp, the O-line coach, the O-line assistant coach, at lunch, they don't even eat lunch. They upstairs running plays, going over more plays. Like, the two times I was with the Cowboys as a consultant, I was with Hugh Jackson. The O-line coaches don't even do lunch. They don't have time. The players are eating lunch. The coaches up at meetings, watching that morning practice, reviewing practice. So now say if you got a backup six-round left tackle who they expect to make the team play, during lunch, a 2 or 3 hour break, that's when that third coach should be able to take him in the indoor facility and work on football. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe not your starter. Your starter is a veteran, whatever, whatever. But your backup guys in training camp get no specialty work. They're expected to know football. I tell agents and parents now, when your kid goes to the NFL, don't expect to get the best coaching in the world.
And Sean Taylor, too.
Don't expect to get the best training in the world, the best training table in the world either, because it's not. That ain't the NFL.
No, it ain't the NFL. Only time, yeah. I ain't gonna lie, only time the food be good is at the hotel. Whatever hotel.
I'm sorry, training table meaning the training room, the therapy,
and the massage.
If you ain't paying for it yourself, like, you behind the sticks.
If you're trying to have a long career, like Willie, myself, and other guys, yo, we used to be in there in the hot tub early in the morning, cold tub. They were like, man, all right, y'all see our body, we lasting a long time. We may not practice on Wednesday. We be good to go by Friday, though. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta invest in yourself because, like, you get there thinking, oh, this is the best of the best. No, like, they're expecting you to be a professional, and some of these people just throw you out there, and especially at offensive line position. Like, they throw you out there, and like I said earlier too, Drew, they're not at that position. They're not encouraging guys at the rate of other positions to go get help from other guys because O-line coaches are so freaking territorial. D-line guys will bring a guy like Sean in. They'll bring Chuck Smith in. They work with guys all the time. Offensive line coaches? Oh, hell no. Nah. If you teach something different technique-wise, I don't want my guys learning that. My guys are two-hand punchers, and Willie's on that individual hand stuff, individual hand, independent hands, and we ain't doing that shit. And I know coaches who guys are giving up sack after sack after sack after sack, and they won't change it up. Guys still two-hand punching, and they losing, and that's the way it is. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why you don't see a guy like me coaching, because they don't consider what we do, what our specialty is. They don't consider that coaching. Coaching is being on the computer, running off plays. They don't think we as ex-guys can run a classroom, which is stupid. You know what I mean?
It's so easy, like, because it's like when you think about when you prepare all your guys that you know.
It's harder getting freaking high school kids. Like, last year, we put 15 kids in college. Like, we worked our ass off with them kids the last 2 years. Like Sean said, to get kids from no stars to 2 stars, 3 stars to 4 stars, and put 15 kids in college. I guarantee you, NFL coaches won't have the patience to get with a kid who can barely get into his damn stance. I mean, watch what they're doing with the college guys they're drafting in the first, second, third through fifth rounds. They're barely making those guys better. So imagine one of them guys trying to teach a high school kid. They couldn't do it.
First of all, but also guys, people on the right, like, it's funny too, though, now that we're speaking about this too, though. A guy might not, you may draft a guy first round, all right? Second round, third round, whatever. He doesn't fit in your system, but go to another team and go ball. You'd be like, wow, what's going on? Prime example. Remember Amari Brooks? We couldn't get Amari Brooks right in Cincinnati.
But that boy went to
San Fran and became a beast.
Pro Bowl.
I remember that.
I mean, look at Justin.
I was so ready for him.
Look at Justin. Justin, a Hall of Fame player now.
Yeah. You know but it's so funny too, though. Everybody that leaves the Bengals gonna have great careers, bro. I hate to say it.
Hey, come on now. We're different now, man. We're different.
Hey, don't let Sean be on this Bengal bashing shit either right now. You know?
Yeah, I can't.
You see, like, how is Sean even doing stuff on the Bengals? Like, I'm kind of confused right now.
No, I do stuff on every team,
this
bro.
This man is a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I'm gonna put it out there. We got running
bets. Bring up those two games last year.
We got running bets in our group text. Bengals versus Chiefs.
Hey, yeah.
Look on Twitter. He said, good morning, Chiefs Kingdom. Chiefs Nation, good morning. It's a great day. He don't say about Bengals Nation and who they. He don't be saying that.
Now, I talk about the Bengals sometimes. I do. I talk about the Bengals sometimes. I do talk about
I'm
the
making.
Bengals
I make it. You got to.
Yo, because I'm gonna tell you what, out of my career, yeah, you know, I was undrafted, journeyman, whatever. But most of my career spent in Ohio.
Mm. Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just I'm always gonna be embedded in love, you know what I mean? I just like to stir up controversy and talk shit at the end of the day.
You do.
You know what I mean? Man,
December 4th in Cincinnati, Bengals Chiefs. Sean, you fly out here, I'll get you in.
I'm going to that game too.
Are you going to that game?
Yeah, there's no doubt going to the game. Yeah.
Matter of fact, I need to look at that. I need to look at the ticket right
there. I'm gonna tell all the boys. Get Clem to come up. All the boys, man. We need to
get Gavin back up there. Yeah. But we'll talk about it.
Act like I belong.
I'm gonna call Elizabeth.
Willie like you now because you was talking about O-line play. You knew a little something to intrigue him to get him going to understand.
There you go.
Because Willie don't like too many people, man. I'm just gonna be honest with you, man. There's no certain fact. Hey,
I wrote an article about Willie about a month ago. I got a follow on Twitter. It's all good, man. Me and Willie are straight.
Yeah. Hey, since we're speaking a little bit college football, who's better, South Carolina or Auburn?
Who better? I mean, I don't even know what y'all records are. I mean,
we bowl eligible right now. You know what I'm saying?
We bowl eligible. Okay. I can't front then. But I get it, man. Like. You know, we all were so proud last week, man, of Cadillac, man, of just seeing, you know, just keeping it real as an African American coach, you know, being the SEC, being in Auburn, that thing brought tears to guys' eyes. Plus, the guy like Cadillac, who's so beloved in Auburn, for them to give him a chance, and the way, you know, people was talking about, you know, he had some guys emotionally ready to play. You saw him on the sideline. That was the most emotions we saw from an Auburn coach in a couple of years. You know,
but
what I mean?
even after the game, though.
After the game, during the week, man. Like
the game, after the game.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was crazy.
Hands down, I said, man. That reminds
you watch Saturday night versus Texas A&M. It's gonna be that stadium gonna go crazy.
I think y'all can beat them though. I think y'all can beat A&M. A&M is beatable, bro. We beat them.
Oh, A&M's very beatable.
Yeah, A&M, everybody beating A&M right now. You know, shout out to my boy Damon Craig. You know, my little brother is a quarterback coach, former Auburn guy at Texas A&M.
Man, we're going to ask you a couple more questions before we let you go. Willie, go ahead.
All right.
I actually put out, you know, you follow me on Twitter. You probably see me. I'm in the trenches, man, every day.
Yes. Yeah,
but I just asked some of my Twitter followers, you know, some questions maybe that they want to answer. I thought maybe we could just rapid fire a couple questions.
That's cool. Say. Yeah.
From Bengals fans. Here's a good one. We like to talk about this when we have guests on anyway. Emily Williams asked, your favorite food or restaurant in Cincinnati?
Ooh, I already know.
What is it, Sean? What do you think?
I'm about to say Jeff Ruby's, bro.
I do frequent Jeff Ruby's a lot. You know, Jeff Ruby showed me a lot of love. Jeff Ruby's, couple of barbecue. It's a barbecue spot that Ace and Zim just turned me on to, man. I can't think of the freaking name. They'll be so mad.
You're talking Midwest Barbecue and Creamery.
Midwest Barbecue, yeah.
With the Uno wings.
Yeah, they food good as hell, yo. Yeah,
I ain't never had that.
Ace and Zim love it.
They're a couple, man. They're from Atlanta, too. A couple from Atlanta. So,
I come to Atlanta, I got to try them out.
Yeah, no doubt. But Jeff Ruby's does a good job. Also, my boy's Happy's Pizza. My brother owns Happy's Pizza, him and Corey Blunt. You know what I mean? Some of the best pizzas, some of the best wings. They serve rib tips. It's called Happy's Pizza, but they serve way more food than just pizza. You know what I mean? And I leave you there like, man, yo, my diet is totally ruined. You know,
that's a cheap day. That's a cheap day, huh?
No doubt. So Happy's Pizza, my brother's own, is definitely one of my favorite spots.
Got you. Another one that was asked, she actually asked too. She said, what's your favorite Thanksgiving dish? You know, it's the season. It's coming up in a couple weeks. This is 3-point stance. We're all about the trenches. I like to eat. So favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Oh, a favorite dish? Shoot, nah, just as long as I got me a plate. I'm gonna tell you a story though. So Sean noticed, so when in doing Thanksgiving, it's always during the week of the season, so guys fly their parents up. It's always a hectic time, so hectic. And I had a townhouse. I moved in a townhouse, I think 98, 99, out in Kenwood. So I had like a five-bedroom townhouse. My parents, family would come in, and my mom would just cook up all kind of damn food. All kind of food she cook up. So I had a massage guy in Cincinnati.
Hat rack.
No. One hat rack. This year before hat rack. Hat rack, and they're in Atlanta. I found him in Cincinnati. This guy was from Kentucky. I forgot his name. He was one of the guys around the city. And he had never had sweet potato pie. He's from Cincinnati. He had pumpkin pie. So my mom made like 8-9 cakes, pies, like sweet potato pies. Sean know this, sweet potato pies.
Hey.
And so she made a mistake and burnt like three of them. She burned three of them. So she was all mad. This dude tastes her pies and went bananas. He had never had sweet potato pie before. He had only had pumpkin pie in his life. And so we love to sit in our family. We changed him over to sweet potato pies. I know people grew up in Ohio. Y'all love y'all pumpkin pies. Like,
oh yeah.
I don't touch pumpkin pie.
You gotta be sweet potato. Sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato
pie.
That's it.
Sweet potato pie, man. You gotta have that sweet
I'm not gonna lie.
Pie, that mac and cheese, some yams.
Oh my goodness. All that.
I don't think I've ever had sweet potato pie. I can't.
See, remember. I knew it. We gotta bring you over to the side, man. Come on, man.
You gotta come to the dark side, baby.
It'll change your life. Drew, it'll change your life.
Hey, I'll try anything. I promise.
That's amazing. People have never had it before. And folks down here in the South don't eat pumpkin pie. They don't eat it.
So another question I had come through from Joel Duffman. It's actually one that I thought was a really good question. What is your relationship now with Andrew Whitworth? And was it any kind of mixed emotions watching him win a Super Bowl against the Bengals?
I mean, it wasn't mixed. Like, first of all, he's my little brother. You know, just talked to him the other day. I cheer for him. He cheered for me so hard. He's done so many things for me just behind the scenes, talking to people about me and my career. And likewise, I do the same thing for him. You know, I help raise Whitworth, and he's always shown me the utmost respect. And but it wasn't mixed emotions, because I just was happy for the player. Whoever won, I was gonna be happy for him. Put it like that.
Right.
Like, when he won it, I wasn't saying, damn. I was like, damn, like, Wick got a Marine. That's so cool. I wasn't thinking about it being against the Bengals. Like, if the Bengals had won, I've been going crazy cheering my ass off for the Bengals. I wouldn't thought about, oh man, but Wick don't have one. So whoever won it, it was gonna be a win-win for me, because I know how hard he's worked to get to that moment, and I know how hard the Bengals had worked as an organization to get to that moment as well, too. So
that's crazy you say that. That's crazy you say that, because when the Rams won, Coach Henny Eric hit me on FaceTime and a lot.
That's right.
Henny popping champagne, talking to me, because you know I talk to Henny like once a week, bro. Yeah, we talk once a week, and the shit was just crazy, man. Just to see
Eric Henry, the D-line coach. Yep.
This is just a feeling, y'all.
It took me a day. So, you know, we get to the Super Bowl, obviously. I rented out like a whole bar, threw a big Super Bowl party, had all my family, friends, all that. I went crazy with it. And we lost that. Burrow got hit that last play. And I'm man enough to admit, I started crying, like tears.
Wow. A lot of folks did, bro. Don't be ashamed.
Man, my daughter, who's over one now, was younger than I was just holding her like, man. And then the next day, I was like, all right, this sucks. This really, really stings. Like, I'm going to think about this for the rest of my life. But I'm like, man, Whitworth did retire with the ring. So it was just that little bit of, like, okay, Whit deserved that. So it made it a little bit better. I still think about that game every day.
I always wonder what people, you know, and it's funny, talking to Jim and a bunch of other people who were old enough to watch my career. And, you know, we didn't have, I think Twitter started the next year after I retired, 09. Yeah,
you 09, you retired 09. Twitter started 2010, bro.
Yeah. So, yeah, 19, yeah. So, we didn't have social media. So, I always wondered. And so, there have been times over the last 10 years, I went and Googled and looked up what people were saying when I retired or when I left the Bengals. and went to the Ravens. Because I never heard anything because, you know, I got cut. Like, I got cut. I didn't play in the last preseason game because I didn't have my orthotics made. They didn't have my orthotics made. The team did. So, in that time, after the last preseason game, they do cut day. We have like a day or two off, right? So I told Marvin in the locker room, he's in Indy. Hey, Marvin, I need to fly home to Atlanta and get my orthotics made. So I'm thinking everything's going to be cool. I mean, you know, even though they was playing around with me with Big Stacy, I'm starting, not starting, he started, not starting in preseason. I'm like, well, I know by the when the season start coming, I'm going to be the starter. But they had me backing up, bro. Like, this shit was crazy. Like, I never talked about this. That training camp, so that mini camp, I actually walked out on the Bengals because I'll tell this story. So they had this plan because in 07, so 06, I made all pro bowl. 06, we playing against the Raiders, and Sam Adams want to play against his former team. He get all hyped up in pregame and tried to hip toss me in pregame. We teammates, and I reversed the hip toss, but I felt all 370 pounds of him make my foot go crack. I heard my foot crack, and I said, "Oh my God, what was that?" And so I went in the locker room, and told Paul Spartan, said, "Yo, man, something wrong." They put a big ass needle in my foot, this big, right in the bone of my foot. Shot it up. Played the whole year 06 with that. I had a tibia tear in my leg, and the bone that attached to the tibia in my foot had a hole in it. So my foot shut up every game.
Yeah, so I remember that.
Yeah, so I couldn't practice harder during the week. Then 07, foot still bothered me during the beginning of the season, but I started back playing. We got to Seattle, I get rolled up. So I got a real bad bone bruise. But I played the whole year 06 with the foot injury, so the foot injury could be manageable. I was all pro that year. 07, I get hit, got a real bad bone bruise. It wasn't that I was getting old. I took a contact injury. I got hit. I knew in the offseason they franchised Big Stacy. I said, hold on. They franchised my backup? Like, what the hell? Like, who the hell does that? They franchised him? So, typical me, I wasn't coming in the offseason. I trained at home. So they asked me to come up that one weekend. So I go up that one week, and it's OTAs, I think. And Paul is down there and said, hey, man, I want to talk to you after the meeting. He said, I told him I wanted to do this because they was going to do it to you, but I told him I wanted to be the one who was going to do it. Now, I don't want Paul getting mad at me because I love Paul. Paul's done a bunch of stuff for me. So Paul kind of tears up a little bit, and he's telling me, hey, we're gonna bench you. I said, what? I'm like, I started laughing. I said, for who? Then I thought about it. I said, oh, you're gonna bench you for States? I'm like, I just looked at him and I said, man, the hell with y'all, man. I left, went back home. I just left. And they called me. They called, nobody knows. The first time I'm telling the story. They called me. I said, man, get the hell out of here. Y'all gonna bench me?
Hey, matter of fact, did you was not even answering a phone call because Marv was calling and you wasn't even answering
the
call. I'm
like, y'all gonna bench me? Like, so I come at the mini camp. I do mini camp. I forget what happened. I can't even remember mini camp, but in training camp, so this 2008 training camp, they experiencing with this. We call it something. I wasn't the starting tackle. I was like backing up, you know what I mean? And but I would have okay games. I mean, but I'm like, it was just weird. So we get to the last preseason game, and I don't play in that game. And I tell Marvin, hey man, you know, this week I want to go home to Atlanta to get my orthotics made because, you know, you guys, orthotics guys, didn't make my shoe correctly. No matter, I got a size 18. I need expensive orthotics. I can't have this guy who's a part-time fireman. Sure, I remember that. he's a part-time fireman making orthotics.
No way.
I'm like, man, get out of here, man.
I forgot about that.
So you remember dude being in the back room in the back?
Yeah, in the back room, man. I used to be an asshole.
he making some orthotics that feel like this right here. I like this cardboard paper. Like, man, what is this, man? I'm 340 pounds. My foot can't hold up on that. So I went home to my guy in Atlanta. So I'm at home for a day, and I see Marvin number called me. I'll never forget. I was at First Watch, and I was at Jay Christopher's eating breakfast. He called me. He said, did Terry call you? Terry's my agent. I already knew some bullshit was coming. I said, Terry called me for what, Marvin? He said, well, you know, they want you to do this pay cut thing. I said, Marvin, I will hang this damn phone up. Y'all gonna wait till the last cut day to try to get me on a decrease my salary, pay cut? I said, man, hell nah. So I'm like, y'all crazy. You know, as a veteran, if you get cut, you as an old guy, you don't get picked up the following week.
It's hard to get a job the next week unless you just a team in need and somebody they really wanted you.
Yep. So usually teams don't pick up old guys like that because they have to guarantee your contract.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, oh, they're trying to screw me. So I said, man, I said, Marvin, tell them do what they got to do. So Troy Blackburn called me. I'm telling all kinds of secrets now. So Troy said, well, the training staff said, Willie, you said you ain't have to play. I said, huh? I said, Troy. So all those games, 117 straight games, a lot of them damn games, we freaking losing, getting our ass kicked. And I still play in every freaking damn game. I say all them damn years, 07 last year, y'all asked me to play in the last game against Miami. It was a meaningless game. Y'all said, play in that game, we want to see if you still can play. I played in that game. I said, but my track record, Troy, I've been a guy when stuff Brown has been getting shut down, I'm still freaking playing. I ain't talking about under Mark. I'm talking about them damn doing them 90 years when we going 2-14 and all the 3-13 shit. I'm still playing every damn game. I said, Troy, has that ever been my motto to not show up for a game to say I ain't got to play? Well, he said, nah, Willie, that didn't sound like you, man. So they ended up cutting me. I didn't even go back and get my stuff. I never went back to Cincinnati. I went from Cincinnati. I was in Atlanta. I didn't go back to get my stuff cleaned out. I told them to ship my stuff to me. And I was gonna visit the Bucks. And Hugh Jackson called me and said, man, come to Baltimore. I said, Baltimore? And so I visited Baltimore. Now, Sean, you can imagine this. You've been to a couple of teams. I ain't never been to no other team. Never been to no other team.
He ain't out of that. That boy ain't out of that.
And now I'm walking to the Lions Den of the freaking Ravens. All these dudes who we trying to bust their ass every year. Like, we in battles and wars against them. I'm like, yo, I might get in a fight in the locker room. I'm like, I'm on go mode. Like, this big-ass Castle Stadium, big-ass Raven Bird on top of the stadium. I'm like, yo, this is like a real Loch Ness Monster Castle type thing. I'm like, oh, my God. So I go in there, and I go upstairs, talk to Ozzy. Ozzy from the crib. You know, his mom from Mobile, where I'm from. So me and him just talking about, you know, like, we chopping it up. You know, I've never talked to management the way I talked to Ozzy. Talk to Steve Bisciotti, the owner. Unbelievable. Talk to Cam Cameron, the O-line coach. O-line coach John Masco, who I'm still cool with now. He's the coach at the Commanders. And I walked in. I was sitting in the Ravens. I was sitting in John Masco, offensive line coach's office. And I hear somebody say, that's how a damn right tackle should look. I turned around. It was Rex Ryan. He got up. I dapped Rex up, hugged him. He like, yo, this kind of motherfucker we need right here. And so I'm like, oh damn, this is kind of crazy right here. Like this guy, we've been battling. Like Rex was the defensive line coach when Marvin was the D coordinator. Mm-hmm. So I've been battling against Rex for years. So I'm still like, I leave out of that meeting, talk to Cam Cameron. I tell John Masco, I said, yeah, coach. if I came here, man, I'd just be a backup man, you know, and just be a mentor. He was like, shit. I said, not here. He said, you come in, you're going to play. So I said, all right. So I go downstairs, and they said, where you going next? I said, to Tampa, because I always wanted to play in Tampa. I want to go retire in Tampa, live in Florida, and, you know, just last couple of years, you know, be there. Hugh Jackson was there. He said, man, bring your big ass in the locker room. I said, nah, man, I ain't going in the locker room, man. That's kind of crazy, going in the locker room. Like, I've been in one locker room my whole career. And he said, no, bring your big ass in. I already told him, you coming in here. And when I walked in the door, Trevor Price, Bart Scott, Ray Lewis, T. Sizzle, Ed Reed, all them boys I done played against, they all yell, Big Willie! And I said, all right, I'm coming here. I'm like, I ain't even going to. Once they all did that, I was like, oh, shit, I'm supposed to be here. Like, they ain't had no quarterback. We ain't know Joe Flacco going to be the coach. Because if you remember, Troy Vincent was supposed to be the QB that year. He got sick and lost like 40 pounds.
Troy Smith.
So Ohio Joe State. Flacco was supposed to be sitting on the bench that year. So when I said that, TJ and Carson, they both called me. I never forget that. TJ Carson, I think Levi may be on the phone.
TJ's your other agent.
Yes, he's my other agent. TJ and Carson said, what the hell is your dumb ass doing? You going to the Ravens? Carson wanted me to go to San Diego because him and North Turner were neighbors. He said, bro, you're going to love San Diego. You can live out there on the beach. Your body going to feel good. He said, Norm ain't going to kill you at practice. He a good dude, da, 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 da. I said, man, I ain't going to damn San Diego. My son lives in Atlanta. I'm going somewhere I can get on the plane and go home. He said, the Ravens going to be sorry as hell this year. And I said, well, we'll see about that. And we go to the freaking AFC Championship game, man. I had the most fun, you know.
That's the most wins you don't want in the playoffs, my guy.
It is. I can't lie. I know Bengals fans get mad at me saying that, but like I tried in Cincinnati. I tried my ass off. You guys know that. I busted ass for 12 years there. But winning that first playoff game against Miami on the road, and then winning the second one against the Titans on the road, and going to Pittsburgh where I wanted to beat them so bad. That's the last thing I'll tell you guys. The Pittsburgh game is the most violent, coldest game I've ever played in my life. I thought Ryan Clark had killed Willis McGahee. I thought he was dead. Flacco threw a pass down the middle. Ryan decapitated McGahee. I was pass blocking. I looked up. I said, oh, shit, he's dead. I know he's dead. It was the most violent game I've ever been in my life. Like, we think Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, that's a big, like, the amount of hate. Listen, I'm going to tell you a couple more stories. The amount of hate.
I got all night for you.
Listen, man. The amount of hate the Ravens organization had and have for Pittsburgh is unfreaking match. I'm going to tell something I probably shouldn't tell. Listen, the Ravens had a hitman for Hines. I told Hines Ward when I retired. I said, Hines, them boys got a hitman for you.
Yeah, because you know everybody hated when Hines come across with that.
Listen, I'm telling somebody I probably shouldn't tell right now. But they had a guy at the Ravens. His job was to keep Hines Ward off of Ed Reed. You probably say, what? I want to say the guy got cut the previous year because Hines caught Ed sleeping, and knocked him out. So they had a guy on defense. Your job is to keep an eye on Ed, on Hines Ward off of Ed because Ed couldn't focus. Because Hines would be blocking right here and Ed running down here. Then he just come off and just knock Ed out. Like
he did it to Keith Rivers too.
Like Hines was just a physical, dangerous guy.
Hey, did he knock Keith Rivers' teeth out?
Like he broke his jaw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the Ravens, man, those speeches we used to hear next door, you hear Rex Ryan. the speeches he gave, bro. Sean, you love Paper Rex. Good God.
You know, he was in Cleveland when he came with Mangini. Well, hey, Rob
came. Another thing, too, we playing as a team. I ain't gonna say the person, but the center is a really, 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 really good center. He's all pro center. If I say his other accolades, you guys may figure it out, but I don't say it. He apparently, a couple years before I got there, he had one thing the Ravens did too under Rex Ryan, they kept grudges. They remember something. They remember shit happened 4 or 5 years ago. So two things. So that center I'm talking about, he wore a big ass elbow brace. And boy, Haloli Ngata was Rex Ryan's hitman. The strongest dude you ever see in your life is Haloli Ngata.
That was a bad dude.
And his job was to break that dude's elbow. We won the playoff game because Haloli broke that dude's elbow. He had big ass elbow pad on it. And so another thing, we played against Dallas. The last game of the old stadium, Sean, we shut it down. We beat the dog crap out of Dallas that game. Out of the old stadium. It's the last game on a Thursday night game, the Ravens.
Old Texas Stadium, man. I played in that old ass building, man, going down that tunnel, man. That ramp.
We ran for like 300 yards that night. I think every one of our running backs, McGee had 100. The other running back had 100. I think Ray Rice may have like 80. We beat the hell out of Dallas. But on Dallas team, I want to say it was either Dallas or Jacksonville Jaguars. That was the last story to tell. That was a guy on a punt team. He may have been a punter. Years before, he played on the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think. And he blindsided one of the defensive guys. And they ain't forget about it. And boy, they put Haloti on the freaking punt return team. Oh, my God. He decapitated that dude. I thought dude was dead, too. I said, oh, he dead. because as a lineman, we all run on the field for punt return. I said, that dude dead.
Hey, yo,
the boys were violent. Yo,
God,
they were violent, bro. It was a beautiful thing to see and to watch Ray Lewis come out of that damn tunnel. I ain't gonna lie, I turned to a kid. You know, it'd be like John Harbaugh would say, it'd be crazy. We say offense getting introduced, everybody's okay, all good. Defense getting introduced, everybody go crazy. Oh, they knew When Ray came out of that stadium, the boy Jeff Fisher made his team keep warming up, Sean. You ain't never seen before in your life. Usually, we would be on the sideline watching Ray come out as an opponent. We all watching that shit as players, right? Like, yo, man, the hell with them. I'll beat their ass. Jeff Fisher made his team keep warming up and turn their back to it so they couldn't see it. Because, boy, he came out of that stadium, boy, that thing turned to it.
Hey, yo, that you feel that thing vibrate, boy.
That thing, hey, I've never experienced that in my entire life. I said, yo, as an opponent, I used to watch it. You used to get us hype. They're going to go beat their ass now. But as a player, when he do it, he had just prayed on you and everything because the Ray came around the room with a bottle of holy oil. He put everybody. And we all like kids. Like, yo, we put our head down so he can do it. He put it here.
It's right, baby.
Go. It was amazing, man. But I keep saying last thing, but he was last thing. So we played the Bengals. And so Harbaugh always have a player talk to the team night before the game. So I already knew he was going to pick me. He picked me. But I was too emotional. I said, I can't do it right now because I'll start crying right now. You know what I mean? So I start crying and I'll be too messed up for the game tomorrow. So I said, let me do it before the game tomorrow. So if I start crying, I'm ready to go fucking play. I don't want to do it tonight and be crying and go to bed and can't go to bed tonight because I knew it was going to be messed up for me because I had never been in the Bengals stadium as an opponent, right? Get to the stadium, get dressed, and all right, guys, Willie, bring it up. I start talking. I start boo-hoo crying. I knew it was going to happen. I'm boo-hoo crying. I'm talking about, you know, yo, I'm saying, I ain't going to say what I said because Bengals fans get mad. I'm boohoo crying talking though. They all getting hyped like they was wild animals in there. And so I'm like, I walk out of the tunnel. I remember going to the tunnel and I remember getting dizzy because I've never seen the stadium from that side before. Sean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a different view, man.
It's a different view. I got dizzy, I almost fell. And I heard a voice behind me say, "Don't worry about it. We got you." And I said, "What the hell is that?" I turned around, it was Ray. He was in my ear. He was like, "Yo, we got you." And then from when I came out, though, Bengals fans and much love they showed me all the time. It showed me even more love. Out the tunnel, I started crying even more. Cause they all started screaming my name. And Ray Rice was a rookie. He said, "Damn, Big Willie, these folks love you, huh?" And I said, "Man, I guess they do." I dapped them up and ran out. Like, and then we won the game. They pulled me out of the game for the last play of the game. Sideline gave me a whole Gatorade douche. You know, hey, Sean, Sandy shit told me she started crying when they did that. Ah! It was crazy, man. Like, man. I was so messed up, man. I'm talking so long now, but.
Nah, you good, man.
I was so messed up because I had fought. I opened that stadium up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're there from the beginning.
Open that shit up. So coming back in it, I never thought I would play as an opponent in that stadium. Never thought I'd do that. You know what I mean? It just messed me up doing that.
Nah, you was fortunate, man.
So now, the other night at the Ring of Honor, my boy said, "Man, you going to cry." I said, "I'm going to cry." But then when I said my name, when the veil came off, but start crying, streaming to you.
Yeah, because it's real then. You know what I mean? It's real then. It's crazy, like, bro, your name is on a building.
No doubt. No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? That's something that you can't never take away from you. Like, can't take your degree. Certain things people can't take away from you.
Certain things you can take away.
Goals, you know what I mean? And that's just whatever. You can say, "Willie, this, and that." But guess what? His name's still on that building.
Yeah. And I recognize, too, how many people played for the Bengals that played before me. Because I was one of the guys on Twitter, y'all know this. I was saying last year, don't put none of the current guys in. Put some of the older guys in, man. Because I had a chance to talk to Ken Riley in 2017 at one of the Bengals event before he passed away. And he said, "Man, I sure wish this place would do something for us to recognize us." So, you know, he was an old man. And he wanted his family to see something he did. And it was just unfortunate. Yeah, unfortunate. He didn't get a chance to see it. So I was one of the ones pushing that, "Yo, man, get those guys from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. You know, get those guys in first before." I never thought they would pick me. I thought it would be, you know, Ocho. And I was hoping it would be, like, one of the older guys. So I was so glad they picked Isaac Curtis because I learned from this whole experience with the Ring of Honor. I knew how big Isaac Curtis was, but I didn't know what he meant to people. And I learned during that week, just from the fans and the teammates, I learned what he meant. I had people from Alabama calling me and say, "Yo, man, I grew up sports reporters, my hometown, saying, 'Yo, I grew up watching Isaac Curtis.'" And it's just unfortunate we never knew about that history. So I'm so glad it's doing this history. And I wish they would do four guys a year just to catch up. You know what I mean? So,
and I think they might start, you know. He got also a copycat league and start seeing other teams doing what everybody else doing, man.
But it was a great time, man. They did a great thing. It's one of the best things the Bengals have ever done. And I appreciate it so damn much. The fans, everybody voted for me. But I do know there's so many other guys out there. You know, Sean knew this. I pushed for Corey Dillon being the Hall. I think Corey Dillon should be Corey Dillon. Corey Dillon,
you know what
I mean? Just guys from our era, you know what I mean? You know, guys like that. But I think Corey Dillon, Tequio, and Ocho.
I mean, I think Tequio
should be in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean?
I was arguing
with Gil Brandt, the great Gil Brandt, on Twitter a couple years ago. He listed top running backs. He didn't mention Corey. I'm like, "Man, how you not mention Corey?" And Gil Brandt was like, "Well, Willie, you got a little bias. You played." I said, "Gil, all due respect, but if Corey Dillon had just a average passing game, average, he'd break every NFL record because he broke several with no passing game. You know what I mean? You give him Carson Palmer. You know, Rudy Johnson is my son. Rudy Johnson is my little brother. Corey Dillon had Carson Palmer and not being in, you know, Corey faced 8-9 man boxes.
We ran 9-man box. It's
crazy. They didn't even respect our passing game. You know what I mean? So Corey go to New England and play with the greatest QB ever, 1,600 yards in Super Bowl. So
yep.
I think Corey Dillon should definitely be a Hall of Famer. Like, I love him, Corey Dillon.
So most definitely, man. Yeah, hey, man, we appreciate you coming on today. And before I let you go, though, I got to let you know, too, my mom said I told her I was having you on the show today. She said she remember coming to the stadium because my brother was messing with her. Teacher. You don't know who Willie is. She's like, yeah, I do. You can't forget Willie, big dude. Always had his at the parking lot. She remember at the stadium. Your name, your parking space was right there in the front. Yeah. She remember that, man. So she remember that. She's like, I don't know Willie that up, man. You know what I mean? But, man, like I said, man, appreciate you coming on, man. Continue the success, what you got going on. When it's linked out, I'll get it to you so you can promote it too, let people know and do it everything. We're going to let you, we just put up everything bigwilly.com, man. Promote, man. I got to give me some merch, my damn self, man. You know, I don't mind supporting everything, man. So yeah, happy holidays to you, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Appreciate it, man. And if anybody on here too, you know, got an office alignment, you know, my other website is my Willie Aronson Lineman Academy.com. You know, we train high school, college, pro guys. Sean do the same thing in Dallas. Sean, we're doing camps in Dallas this year, so get ready, bro.
I'm ready, bro. You know, I'm ready, man. I'm ready, bro, because you can take over, man. I just want you to stay healthy, bro, so we could dominate with your name and everything. People, bro, you can shut up shop like how you have it in ATL, bro.
No doubt, man. Appreciate it, guys.
Yep.
Yeah, Willie, man, from me, just, you know, I'll be 31 on Friday, so you were, like, right in the age when I was coming up, man. The
young guy.
The 05, yeah. So, man, been a pleasure to talk to you, man. It's something that I've actually talked about a lot, even since I hopped on your Instagram Live last season, man. It's been an honor, so I appreciate that. And
no doubt.
As a Bengals fan, I know that I speak for everybody when we appreciate how you still support the organization and stay involved, man. So this was pleasure, and I appreciate you taking the time for us.
No doubt, man. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, have a good one, man.
All right, bro.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. For me, that's like a dream come true interview right there.
Nah, most definitely, man. We could wrap it up here real quick, get into the picks. And...
Yeah, I'll pull this up. So this one went a little bit longer, but, man, I could have listened to Willie all night. I could have listened to Willie all night, those stories. You know, he gave us some stuff he said he's never
told. No, he gave us some hot takes. I know you're going to try to fuck with it. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, yeah. But let's get into the picks. I tallied it up earlier today. My lead got bigger, Sean.
Yeah, it messed me up a little bit. A couple of games messed me up.
My lead got bigger. So right now you are sitting at 75-60-1. I am 87-48-1. So I got that 12-game lead on you. I'm going to grab my pen. We'll go through this next week of games. We'll make our picks, and then we'll get up out of here. You picked against my Bengals last week, man, and they went out and dropped anything they wanted on Carolina last week.
Yeah, I just thought Carolina was going to bounce back.
So, looking at the schedule for this week, we start off with Thursday Night Football, big Amazon Prime matchup. We got the Panthers going to the Falcons. I'm sorry, the Falcons going to the Panthers. So, do you think the Panthers bounce back this week, or you think Mariota gets the job done?
Mariota.
All right, you're going with Atlanta. I am going with Atlanta as well. I just don't believe in what Carolina's got going on. Sunday, November 13th, Seahawks-Bucks in Tampa. Tom Brady got right last week against the Rams with the game-winning drive at the end. Do you think he keeps it going, or do you think Geno keeps his magic going?
Geno.
I am going with Seattle as well, man. Stop stealing my picks. I think the Geno magic's going to keep cooking. We got Vikings and Bills. That's actually a big game. The Vikings are playing really good ball. Josh Allen's a little bit banged up.
Vikes.
I'm still picking the Bills. I cannot pick against Josh Allen. I know that he's a little bit banged up, but he's going to play, so I'm going with Josh Allen. And then we got the Lions and the Bears. Justin Fields getting something going. You got Lions, you got Bears.
Bears.
Man, see, I'm going with the Bears, too. I think Justin Fields is kind of figuring something out. They're tailoring the offense to him.
Broncos and Titans. You were a Nashville guy. You used to play there. I think the Broncos Titans are cooked. I'm going with the Titans. That's a pretty easy pick, I feel like. And then we got Jaguars, Chiefs. Come on, man. I know what you're doing here. You're going with the Chiefs. I am going with the Chiefs also. Browns and Dolphins. I'm going with Miami. I think Tua's back. And I think they're going to keep it going. I need Cleveland to lose to kind of get out of the division race anyway.
I got Cleveland.
You going with Cleveland?
Yeah.
You think a Jacoby Brissett revenge game or something?
Yep.
All right, then we got Texans, Giants. I'm going to go with the Giants. The Texans are trash.
Yeah, I go with Giants too.
And then we got Saints and Steelers.
I'll go Saints.
It looked a little bit rough for the Saints last week, but the Steelers, they got all kinds of problems. TJ Watt is back, though, so that could do something, but I am going to go with the Saints as well. Then we got Colts, Raiders. Real quick, Frank Reich fired. Jeff Saturday brought in as the head coach. You got any thoughts on that as a former player? He came straight off the TV desk.
I have no comment. I plead the fifth on that one.
Oh, okay, okay. I like it. I fuck with Jeff Saturday, but you.
No, I like him, but I just don't. You don't bring somebody that's not having been in the organization the whole season. He's been on TV, so.
Right. I'm going with the Raiders on that one. I think it's going to take him a little bit of time to get things going. He's got a 30-year-old play caller nobody's ever heard of. Things might get a little rough. I'm going with the Raiders.
Yep. I got you. Me too.
And then we got Packers and Cowboys, man. Aaron Rodgers with another loss last week. Shit is looking bad in Green Bay. Does he bounce back against Dallas, or does Dak keep things going?
I'm going to go Cowgirls.
I'm going with Green Bay. For some reason, something's going to happen, man. Aaron Rodgers is going to do something. Cardinals and Rams. We got Kyler versus Stafford.
Rams. I'm
going with the Rams on that one. Yeah, I don't think that that's going to be particularly close. Chargers, 49ers. That is going to be a good game. Sunday night football. I'm 49ers. Struggling with that one a little bit. I think I'm 49ers. Going Niners too. I don't know. It's something about the run game, McCaffrey. Then we got Monday Night Football, Commanders, Eagles in Philly. I think we both know we're both big high on Philly. I'm picking Philly.
Yep. I'll be at the game.
Oh, yep. You're going. Okay. You're going to go check out Kyron again. You were in Houston last week, right?
Yep.
Cool, cool. Well, there's the picks. We'll see how we are next week. We're going to wrap this up because we did run a little bit long. But, man, shout out to Willie. That was awesome. Some great stories, some great
Some great information, some insight, different intel, you know. Hey, that's the thing about three-point stands. You never know who we're going to have on, what kind of information we might get. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. So we will be back in here next week, wrapping up week 10, getting everything ready to go as we push toward the playoffs. Shout out real quick to Evermore Water and Cookie Society, two of our sponsors of the show. I still haven't got no cookies, Sean.
Man, you'll get them soon, man. Trust me. My brother's here right now, the AKA the producer. He'll make sure we get that to you. All right.
All right.
You heard
yes, sir. So yeah, man, we will be back in here next week. Thank you all for tuning in.
Appreciate it. Have a good one. It's going down.